22. But where are we? The children hurried off to rejoin their parents, excited by the oh-so-welcome news that they would see land very soon. Land again! Land! Is it possible? Is it true? Their excitement bubbled over. How eager they were to tell their parents, how pleased were they to hear it. Mr. and Mrs. Lovelace received the news with a pleasure almost equal to that of their children. All the passengers had grown voyage and Mayflower weary, and they longed for the land, longed for it with aching hearts. The news spread like wildfire amongst the pilgrims, and soon the whole company assembled on deck. They dropped all else and hurried to gain favoured vantage points. They gripped spars and clung on to ropes. Some dangled precariously over the edge to try to get the most advantageous station. Scores of longing eyes strained at the horizon. This was made difficult by the low winter sun, and many hands were raised to shield peering eyes from its blinding power. The captain was evidently much amused. A knowing smile played about his mouth and reached to his eyes. He strolled amiably amongst the animated crowd and spoke to several. "You've a long wait, my friend, if you intend to stay where you are. I shouldn't lean out quite so far if I were you. Don't climb up too high, will you?" But his counsel fell upon deaf ears. No one gave up his position, no one moved. Each one wanted to be the first to see the land. They had waited many, many days, weeks, for this moment, and no one was going to rob them now. They would savour this precious prospect. No one would deny them. Mr. Lovelace glanced down at Justice. He smiled. "You're very quiet and thoughtful, my son. Is there anything wrong? Feel unwell, eh? Excited, eh? Too much for you, is it?"
"No, father," replied Justice slowly, raising his head. "No, no. There's nothing wrong exactly." His voice trailed off. He fell back into his thoughts.
"But there is something wrong. What is it, my son? Tell me,"
Mr. Lovelace said gently. He bent down so that their faces were close together.
"What is it? What's wrong?"
Justice paused. He fought an inward battle.
"Well," he said after a time, "well, it may be nothing, but..."
"Yes, my son, what is it?"
"Well, on the chart, I noticed that...
"Yes, come on, you notice what?"
"I saw that we were a long way from Virginia."
The words tumbled out in a rush.
"Steady, my son, steady."
Mr. Lovelace placed his hand upon his son's shoulder.
"We were a long way from Virginia. The captain pointed to a spot on the chart much further north than Virginia. Father, I don't think we're going to Virginia after all. We're off course, and the captain knows it."
"No, my son, no." Mr. Lovelace gave a faint laugh. He gently shook his head.
"You must have misunderstood. You got it wrong. The captain is well aware that we're going to Virginia. And if he knows we've been blown off course by the storms and we've been taken too far north, he would have altered course long ago, to bring us to a more southerly line. No, you forget it. You must have made a mistake. Charts are complicated things, much too complicated for the likes of you and me."
Justice opened his mouth to protest, but he thought better of it. Slowly he closed his lips together.
"Yeah, that's it. I must have been mistaken," he thought. "But no, I am right," he went on in his thoughts. "I am right. The captain did point to a position far too north. I'm sure we're not going to Virginia."
Anxious thoughts tumbled through his mind. "What shall I do? What should I do?" His mind was greatly occupied with this problem until, with relief, it dawned on him that all would be known very soon. There was no need to make a fool of himself. "We shall soon know if it's Virginia that's coming up over the horizon. If I'm wrong, then no harm will have been done. If I'm right, all will know it. Justice turned his eyes to the west. All that was before them was the flat, open expanse of the endless ocean, the same ocean that had been their home for so long. There was no land in sight, none at all. But he knew that somewhere, somewhere, over the edge of the horizon, their new home was fast approaching. Their new home, wherever it was, whatever it was. "Land ahead! Land ahead!" The strident voice of the sailor up the mainmast rang out over the ship. "Land ahead! Land ahead!" The pilgrims broke into a huge crescendo of cheers. The swelling sound reached a peak and fell. Then it rose again. The passengers gave vent to their relief. Down on the deck, they were unable to see the land as yet. But the man aloft had seen it. That was good enough to be going on with. Now every eye strained to get a glimpse of their new home.
"I see it, I see it, there it is."
"No, no, you're wrong, it's just a cloud," said a scorning bystander.
"There it is, there it is."
"Is that it?
Is it?"
Gradually Mr. Lovelace was just able to make out a thin wisp, a faint grey line, a mere smudge, barely above the horizon. He lifted Prudence to sit on his shoulders. "Can you see it, my child? Can you see it?" he said with an undisguised thrill in his voice. "Yes, I think I can, Father. I think I can." Her feet kicked excitedly.
"Lift me up, please, Father," said Justice anxiously.
He feared he'd be left out of the pleasurable goings-on. Mr. Lovelace gently placed Prudence back onto the deck. Then, with his strong arms, he lifted Justice to his shoulders.
"My, you're getting away," he said. "I won't be able to do this much more.
Do you see the land, my son?"
"Yes, yes, I do. I see it, Father, I see it."
Justice could hardly contain his excitement. He jumped up and down when his father put him back onto the deck. They stood on tiptoe and continued to peer into the distance. They eagerly scanned the fast-nearing horizon. Mr. Lovelace placed one arm about his wife's shoulders and clung on to a rope with his free hand. Bit by bit, the details of the coast ahead became more distinct. As they drew nearer, they were able to see the surf pounding upon the shore. The whiteness of the breakers shone out against the grey-green of the land and sea. Nearer and nearer came the land, slowly, oh so slowly. The children heard the increasing roar of the surf as the breaking waves pounded the shore. They spied the grim tangle of dark, forbidding woods rising just beyond the shoreline. The whole was caught in a patch of thin, watery sun.
"So, this is our new home," thought Justice. "This is it. This. Have we travelled the vast ocean, this dreadful nightmare of an existence, for this? For such a place as this?"
Nothing moved upon the dismal shore, only the remorseless rolling surf. The children's eyes scanned the rugged, stark coast for as far as they could see. The sinister place was featureless, inhospitable, severe, barren. They scrutinized the miserable, forlorn strand. It was empty, a wasteland.
This is our new home."
The speechless passengers stood, covered in gloom, a fitting accompaniment to the eerie, haunting silence around and before them, a silence disturbed only by relentless crashing of breakers upon the shore.
"This is not Virginia."
Mr. Lovelace's voice burst in upon their dejected thoughts. But what he said only added to their gloom.
This is not Virginia."